There are roughly 400,000 federally recognized Cherokees, but very few of them can speak the language fluently, and that, Cherokees say, is a problem, one that needs to be addressed before it's too late. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek spoke with Roy Boney Jr., who manages the Cherokee Language Program for the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma, about what the tribe has deemed a language emergency.
For listeners who've never heard Cherokee spoken before, can you give us just a little example?
Yeah, probably the easiest is just Osio Nagad, which means hello, everyone.
Recently, the Cherokee Tri-Council met and passed an emergency resolution regarding the Cherokee language. Can you tell us what the Tri-Council is and a little bit more about this resolution?
The Tri-Council is a meeting of the councils of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, the United Kituwa Band of Cherokee Indians, and Cherokee Nation. And what they do is they get together and discuss, you know, issues that are relevant to Cherokee tribes. You know, these are federally recognized Cherokee tribes, so whatever issues we're confronting, they try to address these. And so one of the big topics is the loss of our language. And so at this last Tri-Council meeting, a state of emergency was declared for Cherokee language. And so what this does, it allows the three tribes to work together much more closely to engage in our language programs to help save it.
And you've been trying to figure out how many fluent Cherokee speakers are still alive today. So where does that number stand right now?
Here in Oklahoma, we have 1,990. And in the east, with the eastern band, there's 211. That number might have changed since then. That was last week because, you know, we do have people that pass away, but then sometimes we find someone that we didn't know. So these numbers are in fluctuation, but we're hovering around 2,000 to 2,100 or so.
So what's led to the decline of Cherokee speakers in recent history?
I think the biggest thing is when you look at the big picture, it's really in the 1960s when you see the language starting to get to where we are now. That generation of Cherokees from then is the last generation of fluent Cherokee speakers. So that'd be people like my dad's age, who's, you know, his late 60s. So that generation, you know, they had a lot of influences from TV and radio, and a lot of people were forced to move to cities for jobs and things. So that broke up the community quite a lot. So their generation was the last one where Cherokee was the first language spoken in a home. So when they, you know, grew up and had their own children, you know, for us, Cherokee was not the primary language in our home, even though they were our parents might have been speakers. So that break is what caused this decline that we're in now.
Why was learning the language important to you personally?
My father's fluent. He can read and write Cherokee. My mother understands quite a lot of it. You know, I have many aunts and uncles and cousins and everyone that spoke it. Some still speak it. And so growing up with that, when you're younger, you don't realize what a precious thing that is until you get older and you realize, well, I don't know this like I should. And so, you know, that's what pushed me to start working towards revitalization of Cherokee language, seeing people my generation. There's hardly anyone under the age of 40 that's a fluent speaker. So there's just a handful of people. So we got to, you know, turn that around.
Learning a new language can be difficult in general, no matter what language it is. But is there anything about Cherokee that's particularly challenging?
Yeah, well, one of the things about the language that is difficult is the sounds of it. You know, it's there are several unique sounds in the language that do not exist in English. So with English being your first language, some of these sounds are hard to make. The language itself, it's polysynthetic, which means that it's composed of little different parts. So it's very tonal in that sense. So what I mean is that one word can be pronounced different ways, and if you don't pronounce it correctly, you might say something wrong or get a different idea. And so it's very distinct and very descriptive and very detailed in how it's presented. So with learners, if you're not familiar with those sounds and the tones, you know, it does get very confusing.
So if someone wants to learn Cherokee right now, how are you doing that as a tribe?
Well, we have a lot of different ways in which we, you know, engage the community. And the most popular one is we have an online Cherokee language class that's totally free. That's free to anybody if you're Cherokee or not. And so that's on our website. We also offer Cherokee language classes in the communities in the Oklahoma area. And if we have a teacher that's outside of the area, for example, we had one in Wichita recently. We have an instructor in there, and he held some classes there for people. So anywhere there are people that want to learn Cherokee, and if we have the resources, we try to have a class there.
And I'm sure it depends on the person, but how long do you find that it takes someone to learn Cherokee?
there are studies that say if you have about 10,000 hours of direct exposure, like constant immersion, you can become pretty conversational and fluent. And so that kind of environment is not very common anymore. So, you know, like we have our immersion school in which our students are learning there from pre-K to sixth grade. And we also have a master apprentice program, which is for adult learners, and they're learning Cherokee 40 hours a week for 2 years at a time. So they're getting quite a lot of exposure there. So really, the biggest method to learn Cherokee is just to be directly immersed in it.
So this resolution that the Tri-Council passed is an acknowledgement of the problem. How do you see this translating into some sort of action?
The resolution is really about getting what we have already, you know, refining it, making it better, making new programs, and identifying people out in the community that want to help. And with this speaker role that we're putting together, you know, identifying who our fluent speakers are for all three tribes, this gives us a good idea of where to focus our resources on so we can find these people and bring them into our programs to help. Our programs for the last 40 years or so have focused pretty heavily on basic words like, you know, animals, colors, and numbers, and well, that's great. That doesn't, you know, teach people how to actually express their thought. So what we're doing now, especially with this resolution, is refocusing our language programs to focus more on immersion and teaching people, you know, verb structure and grammar so they can actually form their own thoughts rather than just saying, you know, there are like three red dogs over there. You know, something like that's not really relevant. So we're making new materials that will focus more on, you know, thought production.
What would it mean for the tribe and for you personally to lose this connection to the language?
In my capacity at Cherokee Nation as the program manager, I have the opportunity to meet with a lot of Cherokee elders and speakers. And something that they say all the time that really catches me is for them, they say this language is, you know, this is how they think. They see the world a different way because they speak Cherokee first. And they ask, you know, some of us who are learning and some of the even younger kids who don't know Cherokee at all, they'll say, you don't know Cherokee or even Cherokee. So it kind of gets that core value of identity and who you are. So what makes you Cherokee? What sets you apart from everyone else? And one of the big things is our language. While we do have, you know, cultural aspects and ceremonies and things, but the language is one of the biggest defining factors of who we are as a people. If we lose that, you know, the question is that who are we once that's gone? So we're fighting really hard to make sure that doesn't happen.
It sounds like the goal is to get younger Cherokees to take up learning the language. So what's your message to them to do it?
Yeah, well, what I like to tell people is, you know, when you think of, if you look back in your family and you think you might be looking at pictures of, like, say, your grandparents or something, you realize that they spoke a different language than you do, and they saw the world in this whole different way. And so, you know, to continue this tradition of who you are as a Cherokee person, it's great to think about that, what that means to you as a Cherokee individual. Like, if you don't have your language, how Cherokee can you say that you really are? So getting people to make that decision to learn and to start questioning, you know, the importance of what it means to them, I think that's where we're going to have to, it's really got to get to the heart of that person and make them, you know, really get on board with this mission.
Well, thank you very much for your time and good luck in your endeavor.
All right. Well, appreciate it.
That was Roy Boney Jr., who manages the Cherokee Language Program for the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Susanna Sitek.